Alright, good morning everybody. Today is Tuesday, July 28th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday everybody. Can't believe it's already the end of July. Where did July go? It is 66 degrees and partly cloudy here in upstate New York. Been kind of a roaster here over the last couple days as far as humidity goes. I think yesterday it said it was up around 73%, which is borderline insanity for me, laying in front of the air conditioner with a fan-type weather. So, sorry I wasn't here yesterday. I don't know, there were a bunch of you that actually thought it was a new show on Monday, so thank you very much for that. But I have been trying to be mom as much as I possibly can this summer. Remember, I'm cruise director, so I... Honestly, some days, there are days when I just can't make it to do a show for one reason or another. But I am back. We are doing a new show today on Tuesday. So, let's take a look at where we kind of left off. We did a bunch of different stuff over the last week and a half. I just want to read down through the titles because they weren't half bad. We did, back at the beginning of July, which it really has been about two straight weeks of radio... Internet, devolution, manipulating brain chems and morals, then dopamine, brain hijacking and the dumbing down of America, dopamine addiction, the death of biology, DARPA and us as Borgs, yes, it just gets better on a daily basis, and then revisionist history, idiocracy in the brain-net interface. And I must have already dealt with this one, but I guess there's a video now. Ratborgs, Mad Science, and Collective Psychosis. Yes, that was from the second week of July. And then to last week, PETA, Hacking Team, IBM, and Enchanted Objects. Remember that one? That was IBM's smart enchanted objects that can interact with you. The Internet of Things, AI, New Robotics Laws, and Roboethics. Biology Hacked, Living Breathing Bodies on a Chip, and then, yes, last Friday, DARPA Dan, Car Hacking, Memex, and the Internet of Things. And actually, that might have been, that was the 23rd, that was last Thursday. Last Friday, we ended up with the DARK Act. That was where the House had passed the H.R. 1599 to get rid of any local labeling laws, making them all voluntary. Not sure where that is at or if it went through the Senate. I know that it was on a fast track in the House. They did not seem to think it was going to pass in the Senate, but I beg to differ with that because, remember, our House and our Senate are bought and paid for by all of these multinational, multi-billion dollar corporations. So nothing is safe, people, and you don't need to know where your food is from. And the reason why knowing where your food is from is so important is because it's also mad science gone mad in your food, just like everything else. Well, so, where I want to start today is to continue. I'm going to open it up. I wish I had a bunch of papers here to ruffle. I'm going to open up that mad science gone mad file and dig in a little bit deeper. I came across a bunch of stories. And always when a story makes me go, it means it's something we should pay attention to. Titled, Boeing, good old Boeing, and Italian hackers. And these are those same Italian hackers that we talked about last week or the week before. The hacking team that's been working with police agencies and spy agencies all around the world to sell what? Oh, spyware. To be able to open every back door on your computer through certain vulnerabilities and give them full-blown access to what you're doing. And I think we even read that the part of that hacking team software, they literally could be like real-time on your machine, watching you in real-time what you're typing or saving. It was pretty frightening. Nothing is safe. Remember that. Nothing is safe. Anyway, back to this title. Boeing and Italian hackers create spy drones able to crack computers via Wi-Fi. Now, we talked about PETA. PETA was a little device, and I think it was an Israeli device, as a matter of fact, that could go up underneath, like a computer desk, let's say, and it was using the radio waves that were being output by your computer's processor, and honestly, I don't understand how they can use frequencies from your processor to be able to sniff encryption keys, but I am almost thinking that part of that technology is because they started integrating Wi-Fi to the actual Intel processor chip. But this sounds like it is a little bit different because this is utilizing Boeing, not that Israeli firm, and they are talking about drones to be able to do this. All right, here we go. This is from, it's a little older, July 22nd, so last week. A Boeing subsidiary and the Italian firm hacking team, here we go again, are working on a drone that will be capable of remotely delivering spyware to computers and smartphones via Wi-Fi, an email conversation published by WikiLeaks revealed. So, spyware via Wi-Fi from drones. What do you think about that one? That's pretty insane. Every single time you hear something flying over, I mean, what are we going to do? Throw the lead blanket over the computer? I mean, this is just beyond. How do you protect yourself from these people? Says the emails from the Italian surveillance technology firm Hacking Team, recently revealed by WikiLeaks, contains a roadmap including the list of all the company's ongoing projects. One of these projects constitutes developing a device that could infect computers from a safe distance via Wi-Fi while being mounted on a drone. Well, who thinks this crazy stuff up? I mean, I just can't even get over this. The leaked email set a number of goals for the project, including creating a miniaturized remote traffic interception device, which would be ruggedized and transportable by drone. The Hacking Team emails also revealed the spyware project was launched at the request of who? And the American In-Situ Company, which specializes in production and operation of, quote, unmanned aircraft systems, more affectionately abbreviated UAS, i.e. drones. Behind its spy drones, such as the Scan Eagle, used by the military and the government of the U.S., and other countries. So this, I never heard of American In-Situ Company, but I guess they are the ones that build us our spy drones, so they would be someone to probably look into. It is a Boeing subsidiary. Additionally, In-Situ is a Boeing subsidiary, here we go, enjoying full backing of the parent company. Quote, we see potential in integrating your Wi-Fi hacking capability into an airborne system and would be interested in starting a conversation with one of your engineers to go over in more depth the payload capabilities, including the detailed size, weight, and power specs of your Galileo system. Additionally, if you have any more marketing material that you're willing to share with us prior to the meeting, please let us know, said an In-Situ engineer in a leaked email addressed to the Hacking Team. In another email, it reveals the Hacking Team plans to create such a device using a tactical network injector, or a TNI, which is a portable and often laptop-based device used to plug into the targeted network and intercept the traffic each time an ordinary network user watches a video or downloads a file or a program. The device then injects malware and installs Hacking Team spyware. So anytime you watch a video, download a program, or a file, it's going to inject malware, this little laptop-based device used to plug in. So it's just a laptop or a mini-computer plugged on a network connection. I don't know, and that sounds a little low-tech for them, especially when they have spy drones flying over injecting malware via Wi-Fi. To continue, if In-Situ and the Hacking Team succeed in developing such spyware software drones, their creation will be able to attack Wi-Fi networks from above or at a long range and access files, record calls, chats, emails, and any other information connected to the network users, with the spying system operator being far away from the target. So they literally could be anywhere in one of their drone flying bunkers, right? We already know that they've been flying drones remotely over the Middle East for a long time out of a couple of the locations. I think one is down in, like, New Mexico, wasn't it? New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, somewhere there was one of the operation centers. And so now, hey, instead of dropping bombs, now you're going to be just spying on people in your remote drone flying facility. And hey, you know what? We found out that all those poor drone pilots ended up with PTSD anyway after dropping too many bombs on people in the Middle East. So this would be a good break for them. Speaking of PTSD, don't let me forget, but I want to take a look at some of this brain research where they've been doing some mouse brain hacking that's pretty horrific. But anyway, let me finish this story. Quote, in many surveillance operations, physical access to target systems cannot be achieved, and covert installation of a remote monitoring solution is required to be able to monitor a target. Network injectors provide a country-wide solution to this problem that can be integrated into a core network to install the remote monitoring solution on selected target systems, states research by the University of Toronto Citizen Lab, as quoted by the Daily News in research. In other words, every ordinary user surfing the internet while sitting in a cafe may end up being caught up in the tails of the spying system. However, the negotiations between the two companies are still at an early stage, with the sides disputing non-disclosure agreements. So the bug-planting drones probably won't be hitting the surveillance market in the near future. I say, bullshit, it's probably already going on. The hacking team, an Italian firm that gained infamy for selling hacking software to governments with controversial human rights records, like where? Oh, I don't know, the United States. Was recently targeted by a hacking attack itself, and this resulted in over 400 gigabytes leaked of the company's internal documents, including emails subsequently published by WikiLeaks. These contain information about hacking drone technology. Among other leaked files, a security company called Trend Micro demonstrated spyware disguised as an Android app called BNews. It can bypass Google Play's app restrictions, thus being able to get into the Google Play Store without alerting Google and then spy on smartphone users. And I know that there's a lot of software out there that we've been warned about already. Careful what you download, because that's all it takes. Careful who the publisher is. Make sure you trust whatever you're downloading, because if you don't know who it is, and especially somebody that one day had asked me if there was a good solution out there for doing a recording of Skype audio and video. And I don't usually record video on Skype, but I had had an old application before Skype was sold to Microsoft and they made all these changes that I was able to record interviews with for audio only on Skype. But it doesn't work anymore because they changed all the code. So anyway, I figured, well, this might be helpful anyway. You know, I'll see what I can find. And maybe I'll play with it because it would be something good to have. So I'm doing these searches on Skype recording software. Always go and look at the About Us. Now, remember, too, it's just a website. So you could put whatever you want on a website, okay? You don't have to give your address as the quote-unquote company that's making software and tell them that you're on mainland China working for the government. But I gotta tell you, there's a lot of shady software out there for download that's like, yay, we're gonna give this to you for free. And look at all these wonderful things you could do. Remember, oh, it was probably seventh grade I learned this from my economics teacher. There is no free lunch, ever. There is no free lunch, ever. If they give you an application that is absolutely 100%, no limitations, and all free just for you because, you know what, you are just so damn awesome, and you came to my website, I would say that there are bells and whistles all over that one. What do you think that they're getting in return for giving you free software to be able to record your Skype and voice and video calls? So anyway, I'm doing this Search trying to find some good software, and what do I find? Yes! It seems that quite a number of these companies appear to be Chinese. And how great would that be? Some unsuspecting business user, especially in some sort of field that maybe the Chinese would be able to duplicate or replicate, take any of your patents. I don't know. Just beware. Beware of anything you download, because it's not just the Chinese and the Russian hackers anymore. It's your own federal government and the hacking team out of Italy, as well as the Israelis, and many others, I'm certain. All right. Anyway. So, back to the mad science gone mad. So, we have all this going on. This is your good old federal government working with some sort of Italian hackers to spy on you. Well, we did a follow-up to this whole hacking team, and I think this was like last Monday or Tuesday. We started out the show looking at a 60 Minutes expose of DARPA Dan. And this was, I don't remember Dan's last name, but Dan took over one of the high-tech spy surveillance units at DARPA and pretty much dropped at least a little wink of the covers for us to take a look at some of the insane technology that they are working on now. Some we knew about, some we didn't. But one of the things that he mentioned, and I didn't realize it when I was watching the video because it was just a quick flash, and I had mentioned it, said, oh, look, there's a piece of software here called Planks. Well, when I looked at it again after the show was over, I realized it wasn't Planks. I was like, what is Planks? I never heard of that. No, it's Plan X, and I have read about that one. And this actually is the cybersecurity platform that we've been talking about, where it's almost like a self-aware sentry on the outside of the network that is literally going to be the beginnings of Spynet, Skynet, all the same thing. So let's read about Plan X. DARPA's new revolutionary cybersecurity platform. Back on February 26th of 2015, much of the internet was burying itself in the thoroughly predictable pomp and circumstance of the FCC's live stream net neutrality vote. And yes, remember, February 26th is when we lost the internet to the federal government. On that same day, though, there was another event, quieter and less political, related to the future of the internet, and it was live streamed from Washington, courtesy of the Christian Science Monitor. The event, titled The Future of Cybersecurity Innovation, featured nearly 2 hours of talks on the best cybersecurity practices, both present and future. And it looks like they may even have that event embedded here. Yeah, they do. So after the show, once it's up on YouTube, this will be in the notes. I'll make sure I put this article in the notes and you'll see it. There's a hyperlink that says The Future of Cybersecurity Innovation. Featured nearly 2 hours of talks on the best cybersecurity practices, both present and future. And headlining the event was the first public unveiling of Plan X, a network security platform at least 3 years in the making, courtesy of who? The Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, more affectionately known as DARPA, originally announced in May of 2012 and later outlined more thoroughly in October of that year. Plan X is the first DARPA project of its kind, developed to enable Department of Defense cyber missions in real time. And I've talked about this software so many times, but what was so interesting is that this DARPA Dan, who's in charge of all this, had nothing to do with the military in his previous lives. If you remember, if you heard that interview, and if you didn't, go back and find that show. It was a really great interview. DARPA Dan was a video game maker before he came to DARPA. And everything that we've been talking about, the history with first-person shooter games 20 years ago, skewing up on a distribution system for sale to the general public, and then our whole generation of drone pilots and all these Oculus Rift goggles and Google 3D glasses and holograms and, you know, this ultra-realistic moving into the Matrix. This is the next generation of technology that they are using to train our next generation of military. And this Plan X is a part of it. Basically, it is going to allow people who are not computer hacking savvy to be able to launch attacks and counterattacks against targets using dumb and user-friendly interfaces and what? Oh, making it like a video game. DARPA anticipates that some form of the program will eventually be made publicly available for both businesses and consumers, and DARPA has already contributed portions of it to its open source projects. During the February, hold on, I had an ad open as I was scrolling. During the February event, program manager Frank Pound, anticipated in a live interview, he demonstrated the third and current prototype of Plan X, completed in October of 2014 on a large touchscreen monitor, and answered audiences' questions in real-world future applications. Pound reports the fourth Plan X prototype is due this month, so this was in February, and those applications included actual cyber warfare deployment in a realistic scenario, as well as everyday network management in both the home and the office. Like, how amazing is that? Network management and cybersecurity. You can launch attacks and counterattacks, as well as make sure that that robo sentry is out there keeping you safe. Although Plan X has been, and it's both for the home and the office, it's Plan, and I mean, it, I can't even get over that we're using, like, cyber defense technology hot off the presses, and they're already spinning it to home and office. Although Plan X has been described as in its nascent stages, it is already showing tremendous promise for the future of information security, the future of cyber defense, the future of the internet by making cybersecurity more accessible. And the following slides offer an overview, which I don't know if we're going to look at these slides, of some of the neatest accessibility features of DARPA's Plan X as publicly outlined so far. These features, in turn, have stimulated our curiosity at Information Week, and we want to know what you think. Well, let's see. We'll see if we can pop over. Does this excite you or frighten you? Well, I'm going to jump on the frightening bandwagon. This is going to give them absolute control over everything. And if you remember, DARPA Dan actually looked at this. When we listened to this video, we heard kind of some of what he was talking about. They have this tabletop surface computing interface that was another technology that busted back, oh, I don't know if they launched it in the 90s, but most certainly in the early 2000s, it was a Microsoft project that we had tablets, which tablets bombed as well, but the surface computing did also. They pretty much were like old school video games. If you remember going to like a Pizza Hut and you had the Pac-Man video game table on the floor in the corner, that's pretty much what the surface computing looks like. But it's all touchscreen interface. You see different targets highlighted everywhere. There's little connections from one computer or one attack target to another. And it will literally show you which machines are quote-unquote infected. And DARPA Dan, of course, was talking about, oh, yes, to show which machines are compromised so we can target, you know, who has opened back doors. But remember, that's how this hacking team software works. That's how any of these surveillance products work. They find open back doors, compromises, they install themselves, or, hey, they send drones over now to install them over Wi-Fi, but this is how they're going to target you. So to be able to then develop this software and get it out to all homes and businesses, of course, there was an executive order that Obama inked back a few months ago that brought all of the corporations now under the government fold of helping them battle cyber terror because, you know, they're going to keep us safe. So give up your freedom and liberty because the government is here. So anyway, I don't know. I think that this is a really scary thing. And the fact then that part of this technology is this unmanned sentry technology that doesn't require updates and it's going to scan for anomalous behavior, recognize, search, and destroy based on algorithms. Once you start hitting algorithms, you start getting into the beginnings of artificial intelligence, and this is going to be probably the closest that we've seen to some sort of artificial intelligence century. Like I said, the beginnings of Skynet. Okay, so mad science gone mad again. Let's talk a little more about DARPA. So over the last few years, we have been looking at some of the DARPA brain technology. They have their big toe in the door of the Brain Project. That is a global consortium of organizations, universities, governments, all dumping billions of dollars in to crack the mysteries of the brain. Remember, Obama came out and said it's going to be probably the biggest job creator out there next to what the genome was for DNA and for the early 20th century. This Brain Project is going to cure all kinds of diseases and make precision medicine the next way for us to live forever. Well, DARPA had started working on brain implants quite a number of years ago, and of course it was always under the guise of trying to cure some debilitating injury, let's say, that happened while you were in the service. I think originally they started with PTSD. They were looking to cure PTSD. But it has since morphed. I've seen updates on the story, and now one of the things that DARPA is working on is being able to control emotions in soldiers as well. So when they are on the battlefield and they start to detect that the soldier is feeling some kind of anxiety, let's say, they can just push a button and release a brain chemical that will combat the anxiety, let's say, or release some adrenaline or something like that. So anyway, let's see. I actually didn't watch this one, but I wanted to check it out. This is from 2014. DARPA military funds brain implants to control feelings. And I don't know. That's good music. But no, this looks like this is somebody else's. This is somebody else's video. I thought it was a news clip. But here, let's go to the article. They've been working on this for a while, and now I just see this horrific video of these brain-controlled rats that's even more terrible. Yes, MIT Technology News. And MIT is right in the middle of the lizard's den. Don't forget, military funds brain-computer interfaces to control feelings. A $70 million program will try to develop brain implants able to regulate emotions in the who? The mentally ill. Well, remember, all of us are going to be considered mentally ill soon, especially if you worry about eating healthy and any of the poisons in your food. We talked about that on Friday. And if you don't toe the line or you don't parrot back the current propaganda, I'm sure that you'll be dubbed as mentally ill as well. But they have a fix for that. Researcher Jose Carmina has worked for years training macaw monkeys to move computer cursors and robotic limbs with their minds. And they've gotten pretty far with that research. They're using that now on paraplegics and some of these new bionic limbs. And they can use literal brain waves and put a sensor over the top of their head to detect these brain waves that will move the prosthetic limbs without any type of intervention. It says, anyway, this Jose Camirna has worked with monkeys moving computer cursors and robotic limbs with their minds. He does so by implanting electrodes into their brains to monitor neural activity. And remember, too, we looked at those remote-controlled beetle, and there was the remote-controlled cockroach. Actually, it was a remote-controlled moth and a remote-controlled cockroach, and the remote-controlled moth had nanowires implanted in it that allowed them to fully control their muscles. So I'm sure it is definitely part of the same project, or at least some of the same technology. Now is part of a sweeping $70 million program funded by the U.S. military. Carmina has a new goal: to use brain implants to read, then to control the emotions of who? Oh, mentally ill people. Oh my God. This week, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, or more affectionately known as DARPA, ordered two large contracts to Massachusetts General Hospital and to the University of California, San Francisco to create electrical brain implants capable of treating 7 psychiatric conditions, including addiction, depression, and borderline personality disorder. This project builds on expanding knowledge about how the brain works, the development of microelectronic systems that can fit in the body, and substantial evidence that thoughts and actions can be altered with well-placed electrical impulses to the brain. How scary is this? Yes, let's put some nanowires into your brain and we will fix your mental disorder. And this is really, really scary. Quote, imagine if you have an addiction to alcohol. And, you know, there was a story that we read about that, that Deborah was working on how to fix alcohol addiction. I did not realize it was going to be with nanowires stuck in your brain. Imagine if you have an addiction to alcohol. And I have a craving, says Carmina, who's a professor at the University of California, Berkeley, and involved in the project. We could detect that feeling. So what, remotely monitoring your emotions someday? Yes. And then we could stimulate inside the brain to stop it from happening. You know, it makes you wonder what else they're going to be able to detect in the future. Oh, every time you start to have mind crime, they'll detect that you're thinking truth and they'll stop that from happening. The U.S. faces an epidemic of mentally ill among veterans, including suicide rates 3 to 4 times that of the general public. And yes, they always use veterans. Veterans are a great target for them to go after since they already own them lock, stock, and barrel from a medical perspective and decide that they're going to fix all of the ills that they created with some of their mad science gone mad. But drugs and therapy talk are of limited use, which is why the military is now turning to neurological devices, says Justin Sanchez, manager of the DARPA program known as Subnets, for systems-based neurotechnology for emerging therapies. Quote, we want to understand the brain networks in neuropsychiatric illness and then develop technology to measure them and then do precision signaling to the brain, says Sanchez. It is something completely different and new, and these devices don't exist yet. If you remember, too, we had looked at a project that they were working on a while ago with DARPA and flashes of light to create chemical expulsions in the brain to get rid of bad memories that could have been formed during PTSD incidents. They were able not only to remove bad memories, but to insert new ones. Now, if that isn't frightening, I don't know what is. Stay out of my brain is what I say. That is like your last bastion of freedom. And once they've cracked all of the secrets of how to get in our head, and not only how to get in our head, right now it's with nanowires, but tomorrow it's going to be remotely Wi-Fi via drone. You know, it's over. It's absolutely over. You will be nothing more than a biological robot at that point that is manipulated and controlled by a central agency. Anyway, so he insists that these devices don't exist yet. Under the contracts, which are the largest award so far supporting President Obama's Brain Initiative, ding ding, the brain mapping program launched by the White House last year. And that, you know, a brain mapping program launched by the White House. You know, that has got to speak volumes right there. Why does the White House want to map the brain? Oh, what? Because Obama says that it's going to be great for economic development in the country and scientific research is going to take us into the 21st century on a railroad car. I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, you got to remember that we got Kurzweil in charge of engineering at Google, and they purchased 8 different robotics, military robotics companies last year. The writing is on the wall, people. Do not let them get into your brain. So, the brain mapping program launched by the White House last year. This group here will receive as much as $26 million at the University of California, Berkeley, and Mass General will get up to $30 million for this research. And in This next clip we're going to hear, also University of Washington and Illinois, I believe, we'll see. They have their own projects going on as well. Back to the story, companies including the medical device giant Medtronic and startup Corterra Neurotechnologies, which is a spinoff from UC Berkeley's Wireless Laboratory. Ding, 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 ding. Yes, wireless and neurological brain devices go hand in hand. They will be supplying technology for this effort. Initial research will be in animals. Oh, phew. But DARPA hopes to reach human tests within 2 or 3 years, and I will guarantee you that it will be our military veterans that, again, are going to be these human trials. This research builds on a small but quickly growing market for devices that will work by stimulating nerves both inside and outside the brain, and more than 110,000 Parkinson's patients have already received deep brain stimulators built by Medtronic that control body tremors by sending electrical pulses to the brain. More recently, doctors have used such stimulators to treat severe cases of obsessive-compulsive disorder, and last November, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved NeuroPace, the first implant that records both from the brain and stimulates it. It is used to watch for epileptic seizures and then stops them with electrical pulses. And altogether, U.S. doctors bill for about $2.6 billion worth of neurostimulation devices a year, according to industry estimates. So, guys, this is already well underway. $2.6 billion worth of these brain stimulation devices are already being purchased. Researchers say that they are making rapid improvements in electronics, including small implantable computers. And yes, this is what this next video is about. Under this program, Mass General will work with Draper Laboratories in Cambridge, Massachusetts, to develop new types of stimulators. The University of California's team is being supported by microelectronics and wireless researchers at UC Berkeley, who have created several prototypes of miniaturized brain implants. Michael Marhabitz, I wonder where he's from, a professor in Berkeley's electrical engineering department, says the Obama Brain Initiative and now the DARPA money has created a, quote, feeding frenzy around the technology, yes, like vultures picking at dead bones laying in a field somewhere. I don't want my brain to be in that pile of guts. This is a great time to do tech for the brain, he says. Woo! The new line of research has been dubbed, quote, effective brain-computer interfaces by some, meaning electronic devices that alter feelings, perhaps under the direct control of a patient's thoughts and wishes. Well, I doubt that. Under some central monitoring agency that you pay $29.99 for to make sure that every time you feel depressed, you just get yourself a jolt of some dopamine. It says, basically, we are trying to build the next generation of psychiatric brain stimulators. Guys, how amazingly scary is this? So, if you're dubbed mentally ill, all you need is a small mini brain implant that will, oh, I don't know, change your emotions, get rid of bad memories, and they actually start talking about the PTSD here next, and inject your brain with some happy chems, remotely, from drone, possibly, via wireless. Darren Doherty, a psychiatrist who directs the Mass General's Division of Neurotherapeutics, says one aim could be to extinguish fear in veterans. Like I said, remember, DARPA's working on this to try to manipulate brain chemicals in soldiers fighting in the field. But they also have been using PTSD as something for their experimentation as well. One aim could be to extinguish fear in veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. Fear is generated in the amygdala and part of the brain involved in emotional memories. But it can be represented by signals in another region, the ventromedial prefrontal cortex, and the idea would be to decode a signal in the amygdala showing overactivity, then stimulate elsewhere to suppress that fear. such research isn't without ominous overtones. Oh, really? In the 1970s, Yale University neuroscientist Jose Delgado showed that he could cause people to feel emotions like relaxation or anxiety using implants he called stimosievers. But Delgado, also funded by the military, left the U.S. after congressional hearings in which he was accused of developing totalitarian mind control devices. Now, this was in the 70s, guys, and I will guarantee you that any of these type of congressional hearings will not happen now, because guess what? There is ISIS under every bed and every closet, and mentally ill people in this country with guns, oh my God, every Social Security recipient now, anyone who wants clean and healthy food is a mental patient. According to scientists funded by DARPA, the agency has been anxious about how the subnets program could be perceived, and it has appointed an ethics panel to oversee the research. Yes, and I would feel so safe and secure with DARPA's version of ethics. Psychiatric implants would in fact control how mentally ill people act, although in many cases indirectly by changing how they feel. For instance, a stimulator that stops a craving for cocaine would alter an addict's behavior. And remember, when we looked at dopamine and the addiction to devices, the dangling carrot, dopamine is the chemical that cocaine causes your brain to produce. That is the dangling carrot chemical. And that's also what video games produce. Back to the story. It's to change what people feel and to change what they do. Those are ultimately tied, says Doherty. Doherty says a brain implant would only be considered for patients truly debilitated by mental illness or who can't be helped with drugs and psychotherapy. This is never going to be a first-line option. Oh, you have PTSD, let's do surgery. He says it's going to be for people who don't respond to other treatments. Yes, but this is 2014. When we listened to the expose of DARPA Dan the other day, DARPA Dan basically said, when asked, what is going to happen to the technology that you are creating? How are you going to make sure that it doesn't go to the dark side? And basically DARPA Dan said, well, I have no control over what happens to the technology once we create it. And they are working on creating this crap right now. All right, we're going to play a video. This is out of this University of Washington and the University of Illinois. It's a Reuters video that came out yesterday. Scientists control mouse brain by remote control.
The device attached to this mouse's head can wirelessly inject drugs deep into its brain at the click of a button. Scientists from the universities of Washington and Illinois say it can both shine light pulses onto brain cells and deliver drugs. The remote control device has an ultra-thin probe, smaller than the width of a human hair, which is implanted into the brain. It's powered by a tiny battery with drugs contained in small reservoirs. Its microfluidic channels can administer drugs, while a tiny LED delivers photostimulation.
Oh my God.
Here, the mouse on the right was made to walk in circles after a drug was injected into specific brain cells. Other tests use pulses from the tiny LED to stimulate the neurons of mice engineered to respond to light. The scientists say they were able to determine the path a mouse walked when they stimulated the brain in different ways. Their implant, they say, is less damaging to brain tissue than the metal tubes, or cannulas, scientists typically use to inject drugs.
There you go.
They hope such a device could eventually lead to the development of less invasive probes to wirelessly treat a range of neurological disorders in humans.
Of course, it's always to help treat disorders and cure you of what ails you. So there's a story then that I found in regards to this video. National Institute of Neurological Disorder and Stroke has a published article, July 16, 2015. Futuristic brain probe allows for wireless control of neurons. National Institute of Health-funded scientists develop an ultra-thin, minimally invasive device for controlling brain cells with drugs and light. Now, wow, how amazing that this sounds so much like the same technology that DARPA's been working on all this time in order to cure PTSD soldiers. A study showed that scientists can wirelessly determine the path a mouse walks with the press of a button. Researchers at the University of Washington School of Medicine in St. Louis and the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign have created a remote-controlled next-generation tissue implant that allows neuroscientists to inject drugs and shine lights on neurons deep inside the brains of mice. And one of the things about that shining the light, that DARPA research that we had read about, that shining the light was to be able to make bad memories disappear and then insert replaced memories to replace. And of course, they sold that as potentially being able to help Alzheimer's patients at some point in the future who've lost memories of their lives. Says this revolutionary device is described online in the journal Cell, and its development was partially funded by the National Institute of Health. It unplugs a world of possibilities for scientists to learn how brain circuits work in a more natural setting, says Michael R. Bruchas, PhD, Associate Professor of Anesthesiology and Neurobiology at Washington University and the senior author of the study. Bruchas' lab studies circuits that control a variety of disorders, including stress, depression, addiction, and pain. Now, that stress, depression, addiction, and pain are also things that DARPA's been working on, again, in regards to the soldiers. Typically, scientists who study these circuits have to choose between injecting drugs through bulky metal tubes and delivering lights through fiber optic cables, but both options require surgery that can damage parts of the brain and introduce experimental conditions that hinder animals' natural movements. To address these issues, they work to make this device out of a remote-controlled optofluidic implant. The device is made out of soft materials that are 1/10 the diameter of a human hair and can simultaneously deliver drugs and light. We use a powerful nanomanufacturing strategy to fabricate an implant that lets us penetrate deep inside the brain without minimal damage, says John A. Rogers, PhD, Professor of Material Sciences and Engineering at the University of Illinois. Ultra miniaturized devices like this have had tremendous potential for science and medicine. He says this kind of revolutionary tool development that neuroscientists need to map out brain circuit activity, it's in line with the goals of the National Institute of Health's Brain Initiative. And remember, you know, National Institute of Health, DARPA, Google, Microsoft, and even Motorola, as well as many of these universities, are all involved in this brain project. This isn't for our benefit. Remember, there is no free lunch. Anyone who offers you anything that is going to be for free, we're going to cure your brain. You know what? Those bad feelings that you've been feeling, that anxiety that you've been feeling because the world is just such a crazy place. Step right up, get your neural implant stimulator, and we will make sure that we take care of it all. Now, I'm not sure. Let's take a look at how much time we have left. I have less than 10 minutes. But to go along with neural brain stimulators, I found something very interesting the other day when we looked at some of the nanotechnology and some of the new Alzheimer's treatments that have come out of Australia back a few months ago, where they were using ultrasounds to be able to break up amyloid plaques. We had postulated with ultra-high frequency when in one of the research studies that we were reading, and it said that ultra-high frequency from ultrasound actually opens up the blood-brain barrier. we had looked at some of the nanotechnology that had been in our food and being able to easily pass the blood-brain barrier and how they would be able to get nanotech into your brain. Well, let's check this out because everyone remembers HARP. You know, there's lots of conspiracy theories circulating around HARP. HARP used to have their real-time monitoring online. It was on the HARP website for many years. I used to be able to go out there and check it anytime I wanted. The very last experiment last summer, before they supposedly, quote-unquote, shut it down, if you remember, was DARPA. DARPA had gone in there, and they had the last scheduled experiments, and then they were shutting down HARP forever. And while they had DARPA in there doing experiments, they did shut down the HARP website, so you no longer can see when they fire those antennas up. But check this out. The University of Alaska at Fairbanks has now announced, and this is a local Alaska TV news, this came out on July 24th, so just a few days ago, University of Alaska at Fairbanks now is taking over the HARP facility.
The University of Alaska Fairbanks is preparing to take control of the high-frequency active auroral program, more commonly known as HARP, next month. The Gokana facility, its equipment and land will be transferred from the U.S. Air Force to UAF for research purposes.
And remember, the Air Force, DARPA, they all had their hands in it. There have been lots of theories about using widespread high-frequency waves to affect people's moods and to cause all kinds of weird neurological problems, mental disorders, people hearing voices. So this is really interesting that it's gone now from the hands of DARPA. They're handing it back to the university, DARPA and the Air Force, to do what with it?
The site has been used to study the ionosphere, a region of the Earth's upper atmosphere, in the past and will continue to be used for similar assessments. The operating costs of the program will be covered by scientists paying to use the facility, a model that is commonly applied throughout the research community. The university is talking to several interested anchor clients to help sustain a steady payment inflow. Mm. UAF Public Information Officer Marmion Grimes says the university plans to combat the stigma of secrecy associated with the program by remaining transparent.
Well, that's good. I don't know, just what wonderful timing that we now have HARP coming back online, full capacity. We're going to have research scientists. I would love to know. It's interesting, too, that the university has a public information officer. That means that everything that comes out of the university goes through one person, so you don't have leaks that you don't want to get out.
Everybody's familiar with sort of the mystique that surrounds HARP, and one of the great things that we're looking forward to doing is doing more outreach, sharing with the public the science that's being done there. HARP is going to do legitimate science. It always has done legitimate science, and there's going to be more opportunities, I think, for us to share that with the public.
And, you know, she says that they've always done legitimate science. I don't think anyone ever questioned whether or not the science was legitimate. What they questioned is what the science was. You know, and now when we start seeing that we can be controlled wirelessly through frequencies or through Wi-Fi, I mean, we just looked at them being able to now infect your computers with wireless connections via drones. You know, this future is pretty crazy. All right, I have about 4 minutes left, so I want to get to one or two more stories. This came out of antimedia.org the other day. Jake Anderson, real-life X-Men to make billions for the biotech industry. And yes, we knew it was coming. Sounds like something right out of a science fiction movie, but the reality is a burgeoning billion-dollar industry that could include cures for osteoporosis and other diseases. And of course, it's always to cure you. Step right up. It is called the Quest for Rare Genes, and it is the exclusive domain of biotech companies looking for genetic outliers, people with rare genetic mutations whose DNA sequences may serve as a template for prodigious new medical advancements. companies like Amgen, Genentech, we've talked about them, and the Google-owned Calico, yes, that 23andMe DNA collection group, and others are investing hundreds of millions of dollars into genetic samples that can be crafted into powerful pharmaceutical solutions. The most salient examples, at least according to a recent Bloomberg article, spotlights two men with genetic anomalies some scientists refer to as quote-unquote superhuman. Stephen Pete has a congenital analgesia, or a congenital insensitivity to pain. Stephen can literally hold his hand in fire and not feel anything. Timothy Dreyer has sclerosis, a condition so rare that only 100 people have it in the world. Sclerosteosis, I think it is, S-C-L-E-R-O-S-T-E-O-S-I-S, a condition so rare that only 100 people have it in the world. Timothy's bones are so dense that he is impervious to most accidents. Could pharmaceutical companies harness the increasing viability of gene sequencing in order to transform superhuman gene mutations into serviceable drugs for osteoporosis and pain? Or in the future, genetically engineer a future embryo with some superhuman traits, right? In the case of sclerostosis, besides diminishing the need for painkillers, which has ballooned into a destructive $18 billion a year industry, such gene sequencing could have far more widespread ramifications for the human race, and yes, I could guarantee you for the U.S. military as well, for their super soldiers. Genetic testing trailblazer 23andMe owns patented genotypes of over 1 million customers, 80% of whom have granted their permission for genetic testing. So 23andMe owns the genotypes? I mean, you had to pay $99 to have your gene typing done. This company, 23andMe, and that, I think it was somebody, like maybe the wife of somebody at Google, they're 100%, it was a Google-sprinkled company when they started. This company, though, 23andMe, is partnered with over 10 drug makers, including Pfizer. Hold on, don't disconnect. Yes, including Pfizer, to investigate different options for monetizing the human gene sequence. Ding, ding, ding! With human genes themselves increasingly patented by companies, it is hard to know how extensively this scenario could devolve into a dystopian world in which corporations and perhaps even the government control human traits. And yes, we found out, and your thoughts and activities. After all, how far off are we from a world where simple, certain radical gene expressions could be considered national security threats? And that is true. Another food for thought, how long will it take before the world's military scientists begin integrating selective gene sequencings, just like I said, into the creation of super soldiers of the future? And guys, that's about all the time we have. Everyone have an awesome Tuesday.